our prayer list, missionary that we pray for, is this brother right here. Him and his wife are headed to Argentina, Lord willing, pretty soon. He'll tell us about that in just a moment. So who's homesick?
All of them.
No kidding.
All three of them.
Whoa. They even got it.
Well, you guys are a giving and a sharing church, and you've shared even the germs and the sickness and all the good stuff with us, so we appreciate it. But we have been enjoying our time up here in upstate New York. God has really blessed us. He's been opening doors, and everybody is telling us that, you know, God's working in different areas, and have several missionaries telling me, well, you should call this state and call that state, and I've been telling them, well, we've been up here in upstate New York, and, you know, everybody, whenever you tell them New York, they think New York City. So, you know, I have to tell them, you know, God is still doing great things all over the place. And so we were grateful for your hospitality, especially for Pastor and letting us stay at their house and, you know, giving us a couple projects to work on so we don't get bored. So, you know, guys, just we're really not even supposed to be here right now. But because we were up here and just through different contacts, through Brother Bill, through Pastor, through word of mouth and other people, he's given us some extra meetings while we've been up here, and one church has even taken us on for support while we've been up. So God's really opening doors, and he's really blessing us. And if you weren't here whenever we spoke in October or September, whenever it was, at the missions conference, our family's going to the country of Argentina, and we're going down there to plant a church. Argentina is the second largest country in South America, and it's the last country in South America. You can't go any farther south in the world, actually, than Argentina. If you go all the way to the southern tip of Argentina, you're only 600 miles from Antarctica. But we're not going quite that far. We're going right into the heart of the country. The second largest state and the second largest city is our target. So there's 1.5 million people there to reach. And as far as I know, there's one Baptist church for 1.5 million people there. So there's a great need. And, you know, I believe that God burdens people to build a place where others can come and meet with him. And that's kind of the premise of my message today. If you want to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Pastor, what time do you guys finish with the message time? 20 of. That's right. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. You know, as we go through this Bible study message, whatever you want to call it, I'd like to challenge you guys to evaluate why you come to church and hopefully get you to appreciate that you do have a place to come and meet with God. So 2 Chronicles chapter 17 is not right. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. That's all right. We'll read it again. It's never wrong to read the Word of God. Amen? I gave Pastor the wrong passage there. My eyes went cross-eyed when I read that. All right. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. We'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, Lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell David my servant, Thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, Why have you not built me an house of cedars? Verse 7. Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldst be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning." And you can skip down to verse 12. He says, speaking of Solomon now, "He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it away from him that was before thee." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful that you give us this evening to come and open your word. Thank you that you give us time and a place and an opportunity to meet with you. We ask that you'd open up our hearts and open up our understanding this evening so we may receive a message from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So take your Bibles right there, keep a finger in 1 Chronicles, and flip forward to the New Testament, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Put a bookmark or a piece of paper or something back there in 1 Chronicles so you can get back there pretty quick, because we're going to go back there. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter starts talking about the church and what a church is built with. And right there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says, "To whom coming," he's speaking of our Lord Jesus there, "to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And verse 5 says, "Ye also." He's talking about the church there. He says, "Ye also, as lively stones," stones that are alive, "are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." See, when God wants to build a church, he looks out and he takes people's lives and he uses their lives as the brick and mortar that he wants to use to build his church. You know, if you look at the very definition of what a church is, a church is a called out assembly of believers. So God calls us out. He calls us off of our couch and out of our houses, and especially more than anything, out of the world, to get us out of the filth of the world and out of the contamination of the world and the distractions of everything that are around us so that we can assemble, come together. You can't have church in your living room if it's just you, because you can't assemble with everybody there in your living room if you're by yourself. So it's a called out assembly of believers. You know, we don't just come here to assemble just because we feel like it. You know, Pastor, what would happen if we got together a couple hundred thousand people in maybe a stadium or somewhere? Just for no reason, we're just going to throw a bunch of people together. It'd be chaos. You're right? You know, because everybody's vying for what's going on and who's in charge and who's telling who to do what. But whenever we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, an assembly of believers, we've got a reason to come together. And that reason to come together is because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to meet with him. He's called us out. He's designated the place. He's designated the time. And whenever we come together, he shows up to meet with us. And you know, back there in 1 Chronicles, Pastor, I'd just like, you know, to say that I don't adhere to any kind of replacement theology. So whenever I'm talking about the church and I go back to the Old Testament, I'm not saying in any way that the church somehow replaces Israel. Because God has a special plan for Israel in the future. He's not done with them yet. So we don't replace them, but God in his grace has allowed us to be a part of what he's doing during this time period. And he's given us the free gift of salvation through his son Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. But I think we can look back here to 1 Chronicles and look back to David's heart to build a place where people can meet with God and we can extract some principles for ourselves. And the first thing in verse 2 he says there in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, "Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." David was burdened. That's kind of my first point. There's only two of them tonight because we're not, you know, we only have a couple minutes. But my first point is that God burdens someone's heart, first of all, to go and build a place where people can meet with him. Amen. And David had that burden in his heart to build a place. He looked out and he said, "I live in a palace. I live in a house of cedars." But God, he still lives in a tent. You know, his house is just a tent. He was referring to Moses' tabernacle. You know, they built it out of animal hides and they could move it around from place to place. And he says, "God, why should I let you live in a tent whenever my house is a house of cedars?" You know, and he was burdened in his heart to give God a place. Now, when God responds back to David through Nathan the prophet, and if we look at it, it's kind of similar to what we came to do here today, right? We came to hear from God. But a man stands behind the pulpit and he opens God's word and he speaks to us. And God, through his word, speaks to each and each one of our hearts. And that's kind of what was going on here. So Nathan receives a word from God for David. And he says, "I know you've got this burden in your heart, but you're not going to build me a place." And the reason why is, you know, God, the very first thing he tells him is, "Who do you think that I am? You think you can make this box that you can stick me in, where I can fit?" See, God doesn't need a place where he can come prop his feet up after a long day's work because he's tired and he wants to watch a ball game. Whenever we refer to God's house, we don't mean the place that he lives and we have to come here to meet with him. Because we can have a relationship with God every single day. That's what he wants to do. He wants to walk with us every single day. But when we come to church, we come to church for a different kind of meeting, a special kind of meeting. Anybody ever have a mom or dad, or you as a parent, ever called a family meeting? It's a little bit different than going out to get ice cream with mom and dad, right? A family meeting is usually because there's something very important to discuss, right? It's either a discipline problem that needs to be addressed, or you're going to talk about family vacation plans and activities you guys want to do as a family. Whenever I was a kid, we got together at least once, sometimes even twice a week, and my dad would read a chapter of scripture to us. And he usually ended up with us getting a spanking because we couldn't sit still long enough to listen and pay attention to what he was trying to instill in us. But I still remember those times to this day. I may not remember the exact passages that we read, but I remember that my father was trying to teach us how important the Word of God was. So we would have family meetings to get together around God's Word. And whenever we come to church on a Sunday or Wednesday night, we come for a family meeting. You know, this is the family of God that gets together to meet with God. And it's more than just, you know, a conversation over some ice cream. When we come to church, we come to hear from God's Word. And we come to allow God to speak to our hearts. You know, if we were to turn over to Romans chapter 12, he tells us that God puts together the members of the body, everyone together. And that's my second point. Even though God burdens a person's heart to build a place where people can meet with him, and that place is a special place, it's an important place where we come together to have that family meeting, we still have to be careful that we allow God to build that house. Turn over to Psalms chapter 127. Psalm chapter 127. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." You know, whether it be the missionary that's going to a foreign field to plant a church, whether it be a pastor right here in the U.S., in our own community, doesn't matter how well of an orator he is, an expositor of the Word of God, doesn't matter what kind of programs we try to infuse into our churches, if the Lord doesn't build a house, all our work is in vain. So we have to allow him to put all those members and all those pieces together the way he wants to put them together. Anybody ever put together a big puzzle? Like one of those 5,000, 6,000 piece puzzles that takes you weeks and weeks to put together? You ever notice how in all those pieces, you can't force one into the spot that you think that it's supposed to go? Each and every piece is distinct and is different. Even out of those 5,000 pieces. You know, you might have one that looks real close and looks real similar, and you get out that rubber mallet to smack it in, right? But it just doesn't fit until you get the spot where it fits in just perfectly. And that's what God's doing with our lives. Sometimes he's rounding off those rough edges that we have as he uses the Word of God to get sin and self out of our lives so we can serve him the way he wants us to serve him. But he is working on getting all those pieces put together. And whether we're the big toe of the body of Christ, or whether we're the nose or the ear or the eye, we need to find out where we fit and how God wants to build us together in unity in that body. Amen. That's what he's working on doing. And he starts out doing that by burdening a person to go and build a place where people can meet with God. So David, whenever he's speaking with God there, or he's speaking, you know, with the prophet Nathan, and he has this desire in his heart, you know, and he kind of tries to negotiate with God, and he says, "But Lord, I want to build this place for you. I live in a palace, and you live in a tent. This shouldn't be right. You should have a special place where we can come and worship you together when we assemble together." And he's trying to negotiate with God, and a lot of times, we'll try to negotiate with God too. But be careful that you don't negotiate with God like the CEO of the company, right? This big CEO of a company. And he goes to negotiate with God because he doesn't really like the contract that he got. And, you know, he says, "God, I know that we got this, you know, I told you I would give you my life. But can I just, I'm going to renegotiate this contract here. I want 50% of that back because, you know, it's just too hard serving you and all the time that we have to spend and going back and forth. And, you know, I just need 50% of this so I can just kind of rest and relax and have that to myself." And God said, "The terms of the contract are still the same. I want all your life for the rest of your life." And the CEO goes, "But Lord, you got to give me something to work with. Maybe 75-25. The Lord just shakes his head. "Well, what about 90-10 or 90? Just give me 5%, Lord, just for me. Just a little bit that I can hold back for myself." And the Lord stands up from the negotiation table and he says, "I'll tell you what. Why don't you give me what you think I deserve?" And he steps back from the negotiation table and negotiations are over. And a lot of times we want to negotiate with God in the same way, the way we want to build our church. No, we tell God, "I'll sing the songs that I like to sing to you. Or I'll preach that message, Lord, that I want to hear preached because I enjoy that. Or I'll serve you, Lord, in certain area, but only because my friends are there. And that's what I enjoy doing. And God says, but you're a big toe. I've got to fit you in where I need you in the family. I've got to put you in where I can use your abilities so that I can get all the glory and all the honor through your service. Now, did you ever stop and think for a moment, why is it that we come to church? If you were a kid in Sunday school, the obvious answer is Jesus, right? That's every answer for every Sunday school question all the time is Jesus. And you know, I think the number one reason why God sent us to our sending church in Kansas City, Missouri, we've been there for 8 years, and now they're the ones that are sending us to Argentina. And I think the number one thing that God has taught me through our 8 years in our sending church is why we go to church. You know, for the longest time, we have this idea that going to church is to learn about God. And that's true. We do come to church to learn about God. But that's not the number one reason why we come to church. You know, I think we come to church to have a good fellowship with other believers. And that is good. That is a reason why we come to church, but it's not the number one reason why we come to church. You know, we think coming to church is just about, you know, sitting in the pew and hearing a good message or singing some songs. And that is good, but it's not the number one reason why we come to church. The number one reason why we come to church is because this is a place where we can serve God. That's the number one reason. Everything else is secondary, and everything else is a result of the primary. God, when we open the doors of this building, not because this building is anything special, but because we meet inside of it, and when we come together and we open those doors, we sit down in this pews, and we open God's word, God really shows up to meet with us. You know, did you ever stop and think about that? What would church be a little bit different if we thought, hey, the Lord just walked in the door? Our songs would be a little bit different if we thought, the Lord's right there on the platform, and we're singing our songs to him. You know, the way we receive his word would be a little bit different if we thought, hey, he's sitting in that pew right there, right in front of Pastor. He's really here to meet with us. And church is a very special place. Not because, you know, it's very nice to have a building like this with the lights and, you know, a place where we can get in out of the weather. We can turn the heat on when it's cold. We can open up the windows whenever it gets hot. And as we go to Argentina, our desire is not necessarily just to build a building, even though I think the place where we come together should be something special, because that's part of what we offer back to the Lord. We should keep it clean. We should make sure it's a nice place where people can come to meet with God. But you know, God doesn't really need this building for us to meet with him. It could be in somebody's garage. You know, if today the government were to shut down all the churches, you know, how many people would look for a place where they could go meet with God? So it's not necessarily the place that makes it special. And you know, God doesn't even really need this place for himself. He doesn't, like I said at the beginning, he doesn't need a place where he can go after work and sit down and prop his feet up because he's had a long day. Do you know who needs this place? We do. That's exactly right. We need a place where we can come and we can meet with God. We can get some family business done, right? We can speak with him and he can speak with us and he can speak to our hearts. And my wife's desire as we go to Argentina is that God would give us the heart of a missionary. You know, when I think of the heart of a missionary, my mind immediately goes to an old missionary in the 1850s. His name was David Livingstone. And he was a missionary. He tried to go to China, I think, originally, but he was a missionary to Africa. And he really wasn't your typical missionary. He wasn't even a church planner. But David Livingstone had the idea that if he could get civilization to Africa, then the gospel would follow. So he marched from one coast of Africa to the other end. And right through the heart of the country. And he marched through the bush trying to open paths to get civilization into Africa. And whenever he died, the natives came into his room and found him kneeling. He was in prayer, but he had passed away while he was praying. He was kneeling by his bed. And the natives took his heart and buried his heart in Africa. And then the missionary organization sent his body back where it's buried in England today. But you know, that's the kind of heart that we want to have as we go to Argentina. We're not going to Argentina just, you know, as a short-term deal, you know, to go enjoy a vacation. You know, I'm not asking you guys for extra funds to build a vacation house for me down there, and you guys can come just have fun on a mission trip every now and again. We're going down to take people's lives as those lively stones, those stones that are alive, people's hearts and lives, and use those as the brick and mortar to build a place that assembles together to meet with God. And our heart's desire is to go down there and live and die as a national pastor in Argentina. And I think if we have a nice place where we can come today to meet with God, then the people of Argentina deserve no less. They need it. And they don't have as many of those places as we have around here, I should say. So I think that's part of the reason why God is burdening us to go. But I would ask you, what is God burdening your heart as far as missions is concerned? What is God placing on your church's heart for missions? You know, it's a great thing. I was talking to a pastor, you know, he said, we can't outgive God with our missions budget. We keep giving and God keeps increasing our missions budget. That's a fantastic thing. You guys are not the norm across America as far as, you know, you're giving to missions. That's an amazing thing. I commend you guys for that. But also remember, a very wise pastor once told me whenever I was still in high school, when he was talking about missions, he said, the lighthouse that shines the farthest is the light that shines the brightest at home. So if you guys want to reach Argentina, you got to reach Rome, New York first. You've got to be the lighthouse that's bright, that's that city on a hill right here, so that your reach can go beyond Argentina to the far ends of the earth. You know, the problem of missions is not just throwing a few dollars at a couple missionaries and kicking them out and telling them to go. If we really want to solve, if we want to win the missions battles, I really believe that 75% of the battle that's fought on the mission field is won in the pew that you're sitting in right now. You know, it seems like a cliche that every missionary has to tell you whenever he comes, you know, it's okay if you guys don't support us, but, you know, would you pray for us? Because that's just kind of their way of getting out of asking you for money. But it's not a cliche. Your missionaries desperately need you to pray for them. And the stronger you are spiritually here at home, the greater the reach in their experience and the greater the growth they'll experience out there on the mission field as they're working to knit people's hearts and lives together. Give them a place where they can meet with God. So I challenge you. Why do you come to church? Do you come to serve Him? To grow in your spiritual walk? You come because you love the Lord and you enjoy meeting with Him. You know, maybe somebody's here tonight and you've been renegotiating all week long with God. Lord, I'm just not so sure I can give you 100%. Just give Him what He deserves. And we realize, you know, He really deserves it all. More than anything, I hope you guys can appreciate this place. This place where you can be built together as those lively stones. And you can do all those things that were in verse 5, the spiritual sacrifices and our worship to God as we serve Him. And I really believe that, obviously, the greatest gift God has ever given us is the gift of our salvation. You know, there is no greater gift than the gift of an eternity in heaven with our Lord. But I do believe that the second greatest gift that God gives any believer on the face of this planet is a good church. And He gives us many great gifts after that. But, and I'm not real sure how to put this in English, if this is grammatically correct or not, so if it's not, I apologize, but don't underestimate or devalue or fail to appreciate the place that God has given you where you can come and meet with Him. You know, not everyone across this nation has such a fantastic place like you guys have. You know, some churches are struggling. Some of them are growing. Some of them are doing, you know, if we put things on a scale, you know, where would our church sit at? But you guys have a pretty fantastic place that God has given you. Right here in your own backyard where you can come and meet with God. Amen. Don't fail to appreciate that. Amen. And I don't know if that's correct grammar or not, but that's just how it comes out. So the challenge for us this evening is, first of all, you know, why are we here? Why did we come this evening? Did you come to meet with God? Because when we come together, we come because we're called out. Don't let any of the world's distractions this evening, you know, get in the way of what God wants to speak to your heart. And the second thing is, I hope you learn to appreciate this place. Because not everybody has it. You know when you were a kid and your mom and dad said, you better eat those, eat everything on your plate because there's kids in Africa that don't have that, or kids in China that don't have that. You know, my response always, well, we'll pack it up and send it to them. But it's never a good thing to say to mom and dad whenever you're sitting at the dinner table, right? But there really are people across this world that don't have a good church to go to. Appreciate the place that God has given you. Our Lord in heaven, we're thankful that you give us this time and this opportunity to come meet with you. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us to continue to grow, to continue to get past our sins and past ourselves and past this world so that we can grow closer to you, that we might serve you harder, stronger, so that our missions dollars go farther and farther, that your name will be lifted higher and higher, and that you will be glorified even greater. It's in Jesus' name we pray.